Thank you, Billy Barnes. Thank you, Sunshine Singers. Listen, this group, we need to be very proud of our senior adult ministry. Our Sunshine Singers, they have been the featured choir at conventions past, and they will be the featured choir at Glorietta coming up this April. So thank you, guys. Let's tell them once again how much we appreciate them. We need to be ever mindful of those who have laid the path before us, because without them and their sacrifice, we wouldn't have many of the things we have today. So God has blessed us with your ministry and your willingness to serve the Lord and allow us to come behind you. So again, thank you, and we look forward to hearing great things about your trip to Glorietta this April. And don't let Billy Barnes drive the bus. If I were you. You don't. Yeah, the wise people. Turn in our Bibles to Isaiah chapter 9. But I also want you to turn to Galatians chapter 2. Isaiah chapter 9 and Colossians chapter 2. We begin a Christmas series this morning in which we will work off of the names that are given to Christ through the prophet Isaiah some 700 years before Christ ever walked this earth. And so we will read these verses every Sunday and then go to a corresponding New Testament passage. Let's stand as we read God's Word together. Beginning in verse 6, Isaiah chapter 9, "For a child will be born to us, a son will be given to us, and the government will rest on his shoulders. And his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, Prince of Peace. And there will be no end to the increase of his government or of peace on the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it, to uphold it with justice and righteousness from then on and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will accomplish this." Let's turn to Colossians 2, beginning in verse 1. "For I want you to know how great a struggle I have on your behalf, and for those who are at Laodicea, and for all those who have not personally seen my face, that their hearts may be encouraged, having been knit together in love and attaining to all the wealth that comes from the full assurance of understanding, resulting in a true knowledge of God's mystery, that is, Christ Himself." Here begin our focal verses. "In whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. I say this so that no one will delude you with persuasive argument. For even though I am absent in body, nevertheless I am with you in spirit, rejoicing to see your good discipline and the stability of your faith in Christ. Therefore, as you have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in Him, having been firmly rooted and now being built up in Him and established in your faith, just as you were instructed and overflowing with gratitude. See to it that no one takes you captive through philosophy or empty deception, according to the tradition of men, according to the elementary principles of the world, rather than according to Christ. For in Him all the fullness of deity dwells in bodily form, and in Him you have been made complete. And He is the head over all rule and authority." Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for today. Thank you, Lord, for this time. I pray that as we open your word, you'll speak to our heart, Lord. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. Former President Ronald Reagan had an aunt who took him to the shoe store to get a new pair of shoes. Now, in his day, you went and got a new pair of shoes made for you. You just didn't walk into the store and buy some new ones, but they were made. And the cobbler asked the young boy, he said, "Do you want square toes or round toes?" Well, he was unable to decide. He couldn't make up his mind. So he said, okay, well, you come back in a few days. Well, a few days later, before the shoes were finished, the cobbler saw Reagan again on the street. And he asked the boy once again, do you want square toes or round toes? Reagan could not make up his mind, and he still did not give a decision. Shoemaker said, well, your shoes will be ready in a couple of days. Well, when the future president showed up to pick up his shoes, he had one square toe and one round toe for his shoes. The cobbler said, this will teach you never to let people make decisions for you. Reagan said, I learned right then and there, if you don't make your own decisions, someone else will. You know, I can say rather confidently that you struggle with decisions every day. You have decisions to make every day. Now, some of the decisions we struggle with certainly are not earth-shattering. But some of the decisions that we struggle with have a great impact upon our lives and the lives of those we influence. So the question I have for you is this: who makes your decisions? Who makes your decisions? Well, based on the stage of life that we are in, that question can be answered in a multitude of ways. When we're children, our parents make the majority of decisions for us. Oh, ultimately, we can get to the age where we understand the difference between apple juice and orange juice, and we might make those decisions. But basically, our parents are making our decisions for us as teenagers. You're frustrated because you think your parents are making too many decisions for you. And you're ready to begin to make some of those decisions on your own. As adults, you're frustrated because you have to make all the decisions for everybody, it seems like. And we feel the burden of having to make so many choices. As senior adults, you become frustrated because others are beginning to make the decisions you used to make for yourself. You like that, don't you? Yeah. Yeah, you don't like that at all. That's right. That's right. That's nervous laughter back here. Sounds like to me decisions aren't all they're cracked up to be. Making choices in our lives. But I have another question for you. Who is or what is the real source behind the decisions that you make? Who or what is the real source behind the decisions that you make? What do I mean by that question? I mean very simply, something or someone always influences your life in such a way that you pattern your life after them. Something or someone always influences your life in such a way that you pattern your life and your decision making accordingly. You are seeking wisdom and guidance from somewhere. Somewhere outside of you, you are seeking wisdom and guidance. One of two places where your wisdom is originated. Your wisdom either comes from this age, consisting of philosophies and the wisdom of men, or your wisdom comes from this wonderful counselor that Isaiah prophesied about, who holds all of the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. I want to encourage you this morning to seek kingdom wisdom. Wisdom that proceeds from God. Wisdom that is given to you from the Lord God Himself. Because friends, you may not think that you make large decisions on a daily basis, but I will say to you that every day you make kingdom decisions. And so in order for you to make kingdom decisions, you must have kingdom wisdom. Now, Pastor, come on. Some of the decisions I make, they're just not that important. They don't amount to very much. Well, they may not be important to you, but ultimately, the decisions you make, whether we are aware of it or not, are kingdom decisions. Decisions that either place you in the center of God's will or place you outside of God's will. Decisions that encourage your children to follow after Christ or discourage your children to follow after Christ. Decisions that help that coworker who's watching your life want to know more about this God you serve. Or decisions that will encourage them to say, you know, they're really not as strong as a believer as I thought, and therefore I'm not so interested in this God that they serve. Our decisions have kingdom ramifications. In our passage out of Colossians this morning, Paul is writing to the Colossian Christians, and he's urging them, he is commanding them not to be captured and be deceived by the wisdom of this age, the philosophy and empty deception that was practiced by those who are more interested in religion than they are following after Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of their life. They had begun to infiltrate the church. As a result, those Colossian believers were obviously having some difficulties in the decisions they had to make. Do I trust Christ or do I follow the wisdom and the age of this world? You know, those Colossian believers, they're not different from you and I, are they? We have the same things bombarding our lives and bombarding our churches. They struggle with making godly decisions, kingdom decisions. And yet they were met with this contrast of ideas. Godly wisdom or worldly wisdom. We have the same struggle, and we need to make the right decisions, don't we, for our families and for our lives. We must make kingdom decisions. Kingdom decisions for your church. Kingdom decisions so that God will use you wherever He places you. Kingdom decisions. I know that you don't want your decisions to turn out like Ronald Reagan's shoes, do you? Not at all. You want your decisions to be good, godly, full of wisdom. Decisions that impact the kingdom, not hurt the kingdom. So I remind you this morning that you have in Jesus Christ, if you've trusted Him as Lord and Savior of your life, you have one who is called Wonderful. He is a wonderful Counselor. He is the God in whom all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge are found. And I urge you, use Him as the source of your wisdom, the standard of your wisdom, and the sustainer of your wisdom as you walk through this life serving God. Let's take a look at this passage a little more in depth this morning. If you're taking notes, I encourage you to begin here. Jesus Christ is the source of your wisdom. Let's look in verse 3. In whom, back up in verse 2, speaking of Christ Himself, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Like the Colossian Christians, we find our struggle in deciding which source of wisdom to choose. Now, the church in their day was being infiltrated with man's wisdom. The church in our day, if you haven't noticed, is being infiltrated with man's wisdom as well. Beginning to rely on what man has to say. Beginning to rely on the traditions of men rather than on the Word of God. Paul, therefore, is writing for the purpose of reminding these believers, and God is giving us His Word today, reminding us that the true source of wisdom for your life and for my life is solely found in Jesus Christ alone. In no place else, but in Christ alone. The argument could be made that there are other sources of wisdom available, and I will concede that argument. Yet there are all sorts of opportunities that we can choose to invest our life, to believe, to pattern our lives after. There is a virtual buffet of wisdom being promoted today. You may watch a gal that's on TV 5 days a week. Her name is Oprah. If you think that's just a talk show, you're wrong. She is selling her brand of wisdom. Selling her brand of how to live this life. I got an email just this week that spoke about the fact that on her radio show on XM Satellite Radio, she will go through a book called The Course of Miracles, and she will promote this book and the teachings every single day on her radio show. The book is designed to help people, believers, God-fearers, rethink God. God is in everything. You are God. You don't sin. We need to rethink these things. Folks, that's a form of wisdom. That's not inspirational talk to make you feel good. That is a brand of wisdom. If you don't like Oprah, you can pick up the phone and for just 99 cents a minute have all of your questions answered. That is a form of wisdom. That's just to mention a few, not to mention all of the false religions that are in our world today. So the question for you and me is this: why choose Jesus as our source of wisdom when there are so many? Why choose Christ? Number one, choose Jesus because His wisdom is complete. Look again in verse 3, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. In the Greek word, this word pontes is the word all. It means that every single morsel of wisdom in the universe is found in Jesus Christ alone. His wisdom is complete. So if you choose to seek wisdom from another source, let me just say to you very honestly that you're going to get an incomplete answer. The wisdom that is given to you will not be full. It will not satisfy every single desire that you have as you seek direction in life. It will leave you short because only in Christ is all of the treasures of wisdom and knowledge found. His wisdom is complete. Their wisdom is temporary. His wisdom is eternal. Choose Christ as the source of your wisdom because His wisdom is complete. Nothing is lacking. Second, choose Jesus because His wisdom is made available to believers. It is made available to you. You have the opportunity to seek the wisdom of Jesus Christ. Notice Paul says that in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom or knowledge. Do not understand this to mean that the wisdom of God is unattainable by us. It can be attained by us. What the Bible is saying that in Christ and in Him alone is every ounce of wisdom pertaining to your life to be found only in Him. He is the keeper of wisdom, and it is made available to believers. James wrote, "But if anyone lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives to all generously without reproach, and it will be given to him." Jesus isn't out to hide anything from you. If you're seeking an answer, if you're seeking the solution to a struggle that you have in life, Jesus is not out to hide that. But He is saying, you need to come to Me for it, and I will give. You may have to ask more than once, but the Lord will give to those who know Him in a personal relationship. Third, choose Jesus because you struggle with decisions every day. Choose Christ because you struggle with decisions every day. We read out of Isaiah that Jesus is named Wonderful Counselor. Wonderful Counselor. In 1998, there was a promising young couple who were getting ready to finish seminary the next year and had made the determination it was time to start a family. This couple had been blessed by the Lord. They've had always been able to do what they set their mind and heart to do, accomplish what they desired to accomplish. He was graduating in May of 99, so that's when they planned their child to come into their life. He would be getting a pastorate, lucrative pastorate, I'm sure. He would be moving into the pastorate and their family would be growing. Five years later, we realized we weren't going to have children. But in the meantime, we sought the Lord. We invited friends and family into our lives to pray for us during that time. We were given much advice. Would you like to see my doctor? Don't you know there are ways that this can be overcome medically, scientifically? Looking at it from the worldly perspective, what reason would there not be to indulge and avail ourselves to what is available? One, Holly and I never sensed that the Lord gave us permission to do that. So even through perhaps the most difficult time of our life, what was waiting on the other side was easy to choose with just a decision and the funding. But what was waiting for us was in the Lord's will and His desire. And in 2001, He blessed us with that, with His will. And we're raising our son today. There's a difference in choosing the world and choosing Christ. His way is the right way. Our way, well, our way, we just usually get what we want, don't we? And not what God desires. Who is your counselor? Who is your source of wisdom? Are you seeking the wisdom of Christ, or are you living according to the wisdom of this world? Believer, you make kingdom decisions every day. According to whose wisdom are you making those decisions? Choose Christ, because in Him are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Christ is the source of our wisdom, but Christ is also the standard of our wisdom as well. Look again with me in verse 6. Therefore, you have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in Him, having been firmly rooted and now being built up in Him and established in your faith, just as you were instructed, and overflowing with gratitude. There was a man who walked by a jewelry store every day who had a clock outside of the door, and he stopped every single day, looked up to the clock, and he adjusted his watch according to that clock. Well, the jeweler saw this on a regular basis. Well, one morning, he was out on the porch of his business, and he saw the gentleman walk up, and he asked him, "What do you do so that you have to look at your watch every single day and match it to the clock here?" The guy chuckled a little bit and he said, "Well, you see the plant down the street? I'm the whistleblower at the plant down the street. I blow the whistle for lunch and I blow the whistle for when it's time to go home." And the jeweler said, "No, you can't be. I set my clock according to your whistle." The irony here is that these two men, they were trusting each other as their standard. They were not trusting something outside of themselves. If you choose the wisdom of the world as your standard, then you need to be aware, friend, that your standards will constantly change. They will change on a regular basis. You will be required to adjust and readjust what is acceptable and what is not acceptable in your life. Because the wisdom of the world does not say the same, but if you choose to follow after the wisdom of Christ and make Him your standard, you can know this and know it securely, that your standard will never change. Christ does not change. He has given us His Word. He says, this is who I am. This is who you are supposed to be. And the standard of my wisdom for your life does not change. It is consistent. And it is true. Now, again, the question, why is Jesus the standard of my wisdom? I want to give you three answers to this question. Number one, Jesus is the standard because you have received Him as Lord and Savior of your life. Look in verse 6. Therefore, as you have received Christ Jesus, so walk, or that word walk in the Greek language means conduct your life, live your life in Him. If you've received Christ, live according to that. If you have trusted the blood of Christ for your eternity, then you can trust Christ's wisdom for your temporary. Too often, we let Jesus take our place on the cross, but we don't let Him take care of our everyday decisions, don't we? We don't want to bother Him with the small things. We don't want to bother Him with the discipline of our child. We don't want to bother Him with the small aspects of my relationship with my husband or wife. We don't want to bother Him with those little things. Well, is Christ not good enough for your everyday? Is He not good enough for your everyday life? Is He not good enough for the small decisions that you have to make? Friend, Christ bore the burden for your eternity. He can handle the burden of your temporary. He can handle your temporary. You've trusted Him as Savior. Walk in Him as the standard of your wisdom. Second, you have been firmly rooted in Him, Paul continues, having been firmly rooted and now being built up in Him and established in your faith, just as you were instructed, and overflowing with gratitude. As a believer in Christ, your foundation is in Him. It is secure. I love the picture of Psalm chapter 1, speaking of that tree that is firmly planted by streams of water. That tree is secure. Even when the times of difficulty and drought come, that tree is secure because it is planted by a source of nourishment. You, believer, have been planted in Christ. That is an imperfect tense verb, meaning that it has been established and it continues. You are planted, rooted in Christ. Firmly established in Him. But not only that, you are being built up in Christ. That's a present tense verb, meaning that your building continues as the Lord works in your life, and as you give your life to the Lord, and as you allow the Lord to guide and direct the decisions that you make, and that as you are obedient to follow after the direction He is giving to you, He builds you up in Him, and in doing so, bringing glory to Himself through your life. He is the standard of your wisdom because you have been rooted in Him and are being nourished by Him. He is the standard of your wisdom. Third, he is head over all rule and authority. Look in the last part of verse 10 with me. And in him you have been made complete, and he is the head over all rule and authority. At the first chapter of this book, Paul wrote, "For by him all things were created, both in the heavens and on the earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities." What is this verse clearly saying? Clearly saying that Jesus Christ is head over all things. Jesus is Lord over everything. Why would you choose anything or anyone else but Jesus Christ as the standard of your wisdom? If he is the head over all things, through whom all things were created, why would we choose anything else? When I was called to be your pastor, we moved into the missionary house, and certainly grateful for that. What that gave me was the wonderful opportunity to take a good look at our location. Holly and I, and sometimes just by myself, we would walk around this block, and I would pray. Now, coming with fresh eyes, I maybe saw it a little differently than you did. I came and saw that, well, we're landlocked. There's people all around us, churches all around us. So I just began to pray. I saw the model just back there in the foyer, just like you did. So I just began to pray as I walked around this facility. And I began to pray. You know how we do this? We pray with our own desire in mind. You ever do that? Yeah. I began to pray saying, "Lord, whatever you desire, God, that's what we want to do. But I've seen some good pieces of property that I'm interested in." Hey, we're in church. I'm going to tell the truth. But as I continued to lap this place, the Lord just began to impress upon me, "I want you here. Build the building." Okay. Well, Lord, if you want us here and you want us to build the building, Father, we need that property right over there, God. We need more parking space, Father. And Lord, I want you to bless the Lutheran church so that they have to move because we need their property too. And in doing so, the Lord just impressed upon my heart confidently, "You obey me, I'll take care of the rest." Why? Because he is the head over all rule and authority. He is the head. Thus, we must follow after him. Why would we choose anyone else as our standard of wisdom? Friend, he is the one who saved you. He is the one who has established you. He is the one who's created you. His standard is consistent. Man's standard is inconsistent. His standard is eternal. Man's standard is temporary. His standard builds you up. Man's standard tears you down. His standard is filled with love and hope and security. Man's standard is filled with hatred and lies and skepticism. Who is your standard of wisdom in your life? Finally and quickly, Christ is the sustainer of your wisdom as well. He's the source of your wisdom, the standard of your wisdom, and the sustainer of your wisdom. I won't read all of these verses, but you can go verse 8 through 20 there. The invitation to the treasures of wisdom and knowledge is a great privilege for every believer. Don't ever take for granted the fact that God has saved you, and in doing so, He's invited you to partake and understand and invest your life in His treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Christ is your source of wisdom, the standard of your wisdom. But friends, we need to realize this. As we mature in our Christian life, and as you understand how you are to live your life, the fact of that should not drive us away from the Lord. It should in no way allow us to build up spiritual pride, saying, okay, I've conquered certain areas of my life, therefore I do not need to seek the Lord in those areas anymore. When we do that, we become like the Pharisees who ultimately had the Word of God and were to be faithful with the Word of God, but instead just began to pile tradition upon tradition of their own wisdom upon God's Word until God's Word was no longer a factor. It was just their traditions. The Colossians fought against spiritual pride. Christ fought against spiritual pride. And so too, we must fight against spiritual pride, realizing that only pride just will rot our soul if we fail to continue to go back to Christ on a regular basis, seeking His wisdom as our source and standard for all that we do. Otherwise, the wisdom that is exercised in your life is simply going to be your own and not that of the Lord. Do you know that Jesus didn't give you wisdom so that you could manage it yourself? Do you know that Christ didn't save you so that you could manage your salvation? He didn't say, work out your salvation so that you could figure out how to do it on your own. But through Him and in Him, work out the Christ life living in you. Your life is not your own. Your wisdom is not your own. We must continue to go to Him, to allow Him to sustain us as we walk through this life daily. Jesus Christ, the source of all wisdom, the standard of all wisdom, and the sustainer of all wisdom. From whom or what are you receiving your wisdom? According to whose standard do you make decisions and choices in your life? Where are you going to be replenished and sustained in your life as you seek to follow Christ? There's one source for the believer, and His name is Jesus. Father, we thank You so much, Lord, for the truth of Your Word reminding us. Oh, Lord, we need to be reminded. Reminding us where our wisdom is found and in whom our wisdom is found. Why we need to continue to seek our wisdom from the Lord. Father, I pray. Lord, as I know that there are decisions on people's hearts and minds this very moment, Father, if they haven't already, I pray they will turn to You and allow You, Father, to lead them rightly, so that the decision they make will be a kingdom decision, bringing glory to You and blessing to them. In Christ's name I pray. Amen.